Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Lori from RTR Truth Media. I'm here with Ken Dost and Liz Combs, and we have a caller from West Virginia. Do we have our caller on the line still, Mike? And
hello,
caller,
Lori.
Are you there? Hi, how are you? Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Alan.
Hi, Alan. And you had a question for Ken?
Yeah. I want to tell him what I've done and see what he thinks about it, because it seems to be working for me. What I've done was I used the 1666 SESTA QV Act, and I filed papers at the courthouse, and I proved that I was a living man and not a fiction, and I dropped my last name, the very last name, and I go by my first and middle name. And I had all witness with a quorum instead of having it notarized, and I filed it in public records, and then I dropped off a copy of it with the sheriff, the prosecuting attorney, and all the judges, and seems like it works pretty good, but I don't know anything about the monetary part that he's talking about.
Tying in the transactions. Well, I'm surprised that they got that far. A lot of people don't get that far in many states with what you did. I mean, that's really the way it should work. But I know people in Texas that would try that and probably get thrown in jail for doing that. And that's how diverse these states are. As far as the monetary end of this, tying in Treasury, you've got to, the SESTA is kind of incorporated within the 1790 Copyright Act, at least the way I see it, it is. And so in that respect, then we've got to claim, go into that and claim that, and then get that recorded, and then deal with the derivatives. Because everything that's happening these past 20 years has to do with the derivative. So if you're dealing with the SESTA K, you're dealing with the first, middle, last name, there's the new kick to it, and that kick is derivatives. So they put that out front. And that's what they're killing us with, is a derivative. So, if it's working for you, great. Have you tested it in any way?
Very much so.
Yeah.
They wanted to throw me in a crazy house just to check me out because I challenged their jurisdiction. They said, he's got to be crazy. And so they went and got a warrant to do that. And I slapped down the paperwork and that put that all to a halt real quick. You know, so I've never been bothered ever since. They don't want nothing to do with me. But
good.
I don't understand on the derivatives you're talking about. Are you talking about claiming money or just shutting them down to where they can't?
I'm talking about the names that, like most people, you have the first, middle, last name, but then you operate in commerce and in your everyday life with your derivative name, which is your first, middle, initial, last name. So it drops the middle name and puts the middle initial in there. I mean, that's how your taxes are. I mean, the taxes, if I'm not mistaken, you can't even put a middle name on taxes. It has to be a middle initial or no initial if you don't have one. So what they've done is they've did a modification of that legal name, that birth name, and put another name out front. And it does make sense what they're doing there, because it really does. I mean, for if we knew how to operate it, it makes sense. But they're using that derivative as a means to, in this case, as a means to take everything private and take trillions of dollars into private earnings that aren't even on the books of the United States. And that would be the books that you're talking about, then, with the first, middle, and last. So the derivative is just a slight alteration of a copyright without changing the underlying character of that original copyright. So if your original copyright is your first, middle, last name, all it is a slight alteration of that, which doesn't kill the character of what you're talking about. But in order to get to that in this new world that we're in, we've got to kill off a derivative and kill it dead, so that it balances the books. And of course, you're always going to come out as the creditor. Always. You're always going to come out the creditor. And then, of course, then it defaults back to the original title holder, which is you. And that's 1790 Copyright Act there. But I do agree with you, yes. I mean, well, that's
I understand where you, that, you know, no, I'm sorry, too. I understand what you're saying, but you're talking so quick I can't try to explain here. But, you know, we're a little bit slower here in West Virginia the way we talk. But anyhow, you're like 90 miles an hour, brother.
I have.
I love you, but you're 90 miles an hour. But anyhow,
I know. I always tell myself, every time I do so, I tell myself, slow down, Ken. Tonight you're going to slow down. It doesn't happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyhow, what I'm saying is, as far as the legal aspect goes, it seems like I have it fairly under control there. But as far as the property tax, you know, they changed everything here. It used to be private property. And when I went into, when I got my, got a tax thing saying I owed property tax, I went in there and I asked them, I said, what the hell is this? And it said residential property. I said, well, who gave you authority to change that from private to residential? And they said, well, that came from the state. I said, well, I don't care what the state does. This is the county. Why are we doing this, this, that, and the other? And it's absolutely out of control. And I'm wondering, that's what my kind of concern is how do you get a hold of and rein that back in?
I would say you'd start with the land records on that and look at the land records and see how it's, you know, trace the property back, see if somebody's got a patent underneath your land title. Okay, and this fight with the state that way, because that's what's on the record is what's with the county.
Well, wait a minute. I shouldn't have to fight with anybody because I'm a man. I'm not a fiction.
Well, you're going to have to fight anyway because it's your duty. Under the Constitution, it's our duty to hold their feet to the fire in that aspect. And as a man, you have to. This is why we're in this mess. Is nobody stood up as a man or a woman and fought and educated each other? That's why we're in this. We're trying to figure it out now again because our ancestors let us down and didn't say, you know, they wanted a nice life for us, but they didn't expect us to know what we needed to know to take care of ourselves and keep our duty going. So we cannot
part of it's society, though. I mean, society has to, you got to give it some credence here. Society has to function in some way. I mean, it has to function in a manner that is financial, it's financial. And so setting up corporations and doing what they've done, I do understand that. I get that. And I agree with that. I don't agree with the fact that it's hidden from us and that we don't readily have access to it or they deny it and they hide it. I don't agree with that. And I do not agree with what they've done here in the past 20 years. What they did to you, they did because they've changed the laws, and they've integrated these intellectual property transactions into these things and patents into these things. And what the attorneys have done is they have acted within the patents, and they're engineering these processes that are changing and altering codes and statutes to act as their own personal business models, essentially.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. And that's why they're able to do what they've done to your property, and that's what they've been able to do with everything, you know. So, you know, what's on the books is not necessarily, as we well know, is never heated in the courtroom because they've engineered these facilities arrangements with these courts. So, I mean, what they've done here is they've cut the living man. Living woman out of the picture completely, and has literally just treated us as well. It says one of the first American title. It basically quotation almost verbatim says that the reason why we exist.
Well, you're a fiction. Everybody's a fiction. That's why they call
really
a person
it's not,
a fiction.
No, it's not really a fiction.
That's why a person and a corporation has the same rights because they're both fictions. Is created by man.
Right. But what Ken's saying is we're not a fiction. That's not a fiction. That's actually an asset that has value to it. We need to start calling it something, and it's the name, or it's a trust, or it's various things to different people, but we need to start calling it a name. It's not a fiction, because it controls you. And if something controls you, it's real.
And we should be able to control it, because we're a stakeholder.
Right. Right.
Let's go back to the birth certificate for a minute.
Right.
A lot of people take the birth
certificate. If you look at it on our point of view, yours and mine, you're right. But that's not the way it's written in law. The way it's written in law, I studied law for 30 years, and the way it's written in law is we are a fiction.
Not us.
Created by man.
We're a fiction because we're a part of society. And even though those corporations are fictions, there's still real men and women that are executing documents and executing instruments and moving partnerships and so on and so forth. And you know, we are by virtue of now a lot of people say that birth certificate is an instrument of debt slave. I don't look at it that way because what I can show is that it's actually a private corporation that is our corporation that has been put into an abstract. Standard manufacturing corporation, which makes sense because who's the one that provides the credit to all these industries to build roads, to build manufacturing plants, to build goods? It's you and I that are doing those things. So if you look at it in that respect, then we are a stakeholder in these things. It's just spun around because of the crazy way that they've done it, so that to make us the debtor, make us the debt slave. And we keep on saying, oh, we're the debt slave. We keep going at this thing like we're a debt slave. We've got to say, wait a second here. I'm a freaking stakeholder here. I want my share.
Creditor.
I got wages out there that back wages that are owed to me because of the value of my corporation that has been put into play. And you know who's taking all those wages? Don't you? The attorneys. They're taking it.
You're correct. You're correct. All right, that's all I had to say. Then I can't persuade you to look at it in a different direction, but that's okay. And I very much appreciate your time and so forth. So thank you very much. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And a good place to start for you is probably the land patents and the land records. And find out where that change was made because it has to be recorded at the county.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. No, thank you.
Thank you. So.
I say, you know, I see what you're saying about the fiction, and I think that, and I hear people say it's fiction all the time. You know, a fiction is something that it doesn't affect you. It doesn't have any real world effect on you. I mean, a corporation that's a fiction that comes in and raises your taxes or comes in and steals your house, that's a very real, that's not a fiction.
Right.
That's a very real action.
And that's a mistake that we all allow the de facto to put upon us. And like he was saying, it says that sometimes in the law. I've read it myself. He is correct.
Yes.
But we ourselves, the people, the living, have to put a name on it, have to say, okay, the de facto means it's not the real government. That's what that means. But they have the guns. So they're going to come in and take the guns and point them at you. That makes them real.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
the de jure.
Exactly.
They call the de jure the real government. Well, de facto or de jure, either one, you've got to put a name on it. You can't call it fiction. We're dealing with reality. And if these lawyers are allowed to dictate how we think and what words we say. Well, I think they are already, but if we allow them to continue doing that, nobody's going to know what we say. We're not going to make sense to anybody whatsoever.
Well,
I agree with you.
We've got to understand that, you know, we are in the spiritual sense. We are there's extensions of ourselves that are out there, and that's what they've done here. You know, we just don't live in a community that we live in. You know, we live outside our community, and we got to look at this in terms of, well, wait a second here. If my name has value to it, and it certainly does, especially with UCC 9, the revisions to it, because of that, if our name has value, then we should totally look at this in a different manner and say, wait a second here, where is my share, where is my cut, where are my wages from your use of my securities? Because that's what they're doing. They're borrowing our credit line And they're pocketing all the interest, and we're entitled to that interest. We're a stakeholder here, and that's the way we've got to approach these things. It's not a fiction. And when you collapse everything, what you're doing is you're collapsing all these entities and corporations and partnerships, all these things that were assumed and presumed. We're recognizing them, and then we're collapsing them because we want to bring them all back so that we can be the living man, a substantial being with control of all our senses and everything, so we can be the whole living man.
And Liz had something to say there for a second. Liz?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, that our, that UCC-9 and all of those new innovations that they brought into this mortgage, the mortgage lending arena, you know, we have to understand, first of all, the word fiction, I don't like it because we're not a fiction. We are actually the subject matter of all of these processes.
Right.
You know, we're the underlying security, and that means this is a securities transaction, which completely changes the ballgame. There are a specific set of rules that go with securities. And I was in financial services for 10 years. I was registered principal, and disclosure is king, you know, and compliance is king. You have to give people enough information that they can give back to you their informed consent, and then you have to disclose that on paper. None of this was done with us. None of it. And so we're more than just, you know, a fiction. We're the underlying security, and the underlying security is what gives a derivative value. You know, in the world of securities, what a derivative is, it's a security, it's an asset, we'll call it, that derives its value from the net asset value of an underlying security. Well, that would be us. So okay. None of this is fictional. It's very much, it's a business process.
Liz, that's one of the things that I always apologize to people, because I've been doing this for a long time and studying, and we goofed off sometimes, and sometimes, you know, we did a disservice to people because we weren't really taking it as serious as we needed to, and we called things fiction. Because we did that, lawyers picked up on it. Hey, this is a good way to throw them off the trail. Securities, yeah. And when you're talking about securities, when you're talking about it in a banking perspective, when you're talking about it in a patent perspective, you're actually talking about how it's done, what they're doing behind the scenes, how they're breaking not you up, but your name up. You're going to stay whole no matter what. Your financial being, your financial self is being broken up 30 some odd times in these patents and trademarks. That's what we're talking about.
And that has a dynamic effect on your life. I mean, that's controlling to your life. I mean, if your credit's ruined by these transactions, then you're stuck, you know, and this is not how free men and women operate.
Yeah, I mean, some of us can be starving and we have all this money to our name, but we can't touch it. That's what we're talking about here.
That's going
behind our backs with our mortgages, taking our houses, telling us we're broke, when what's really going on is they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars on each one of these mortgages, each one of them.
Yep. And they're not just doing it with mortgages. I mean, doing it with reinsurance, and they're doing it they're financing other technology companies and various other platforms, and like Salesforce and all these different kinds of platforms. They're using our names to finance these places, these new businesses.
Right.
Here's the thing. Liz? However many asset classes they have entered us into, the bottom line is at the beginning of the transaction, disclosure was not made that A, this was a securities transaction, and B, we're also going to engage you in a trust agreement.
Right.
So just like you go to an attorney or whomever your choice is and set up a family trust, or set up an individual trust, a living trust, whatever kind of trust you want. There's got to be somebody to manage that trust, and that person is called a trustee. Well, we've got all of these trustees out there acting on our behalf. Any transaction that we don't understand, we were never given disclosure to the true nature of the contract. And further to that, they've made us like little Lord Fauntleroy that's got all his little trustees around him, and they're throwing us from one side of the boat to the next. Excuse the analogy, but this is maritime, and that's what they're doing. And it offends me. And you know, Lori, you had said something early on in the show that you know we don't have rights to mineral rights to our land and so on and so forth. Well. The way the contract stands right now and what we have acquiesced to out of ignorance, we don't have those rights.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is it wasn't done under true disclosure. And, you know, I was also a real estate agent for a period of time. And one of the things that I learned is that when you buy property, your rights go from your land to the middle of the earth up to infinity in the air. So you own water, mineral, land, or soil rights, air rights, you own it all. The problem is we don't know that we need to claim it. And right now they've such a convoluted process, we don't know how to claim it.
And right? I hate to interrupt you, but we have a caller from California. We have Robert on the line. Robert, are you there?
How are you?
Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you? You're on with Lori, Ken, and Liz.
I'm having an interesting evening. We'll put it that way. How are you guys?
Fine.
Good. I was listening to what you guys were talking about. And more than a question, I've kind of got a comment, but I'm kind of hoping for an answer on it. I'm in a unique position. I haven't had an ID in about 11 years. And it started out 11 years ago when I was in the state of Oregon and they took my license from me and didn't give it back because I guess I missed an insurance payment. But since then, it's developed and avalanched into the scenario where I can't work. I don't have an ID. I can't flip a burger at McDonald's. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it's identity theft. They stole your identity. That's what they've done.
Yeah,
basically. And,
I've been living for a decade like this, so I guess, I mean, I'm doing okay, as it were, but I'm kind of wondering if you guys have any advice on what other people can do if they find themselves in this situation. I'm starting to get comfortable with it, but there are a lot of people, if it suddenly happens to them, they're going to be a little bit freaked out.
Yeah, I don't think
so.
You know,
I'm hoping maybe you
like
could
this.
Offer some suggestions.
Well, I think that in terms of names, and yes, that's definitely identity theft.
I'll leave
somebody's
all the names out of
your
it.
Name.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all the names out of it for everybody's safety.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
But they definitely have. They definitely this is definitely identity theft. And the place to claim names is trademarks. That's the place to claim your name as a living man that did not give permission. In your case, your identity was stolen, and somebody else was using it. You did not give permission for anybody.
But
to
where
use
would
it.
I start? Where would I start if I were trying to pursue a solution?
With trademarks, United States Patent and Trademarks Office is where you would start with a solution on this. You want to go with the state because there's 50 states and there's 49 of them just as crooked as yours.
See, you're talking about the UC1 forms, right?
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in United States Patent and Trademarks Office, there are there's a couple of different forms. I don't have them right in front of me right now, but one of them is a revocation of all power of attorney, and the other one is a statement of, and we were talking about this earlier, a statement of an excusable non-use and of a statement of use. And there's also an allegations of use. You'd want to use the allegations of use because somebody has been using your identity. And so you'd want to make a claim within patents and trademarks. And do
so
it that way.
Where would I go to pursue some affidavit of truth for me to be able to express my legitimate cause legally? I mean, I understand
that's
how
what
it
he's
goes
trying
with
to
the
tell
First
you.
And Second Amendment.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. First of all, when you say legally, I wouldn't do it in any kind of court of law or anything of that nature, because you won't get too far.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to help me.
they're not going to help you at all, because the things we're talking about here is all regulatory and administrative, and they're not going to help you. They don't care because they're in on it. Are you kidding? They're in on this thing, especially Oregon. What city in Oregon did that happen in?
Well, actually, I was born in Ontario, Oregon, but I'm living in California now, and for the last 11 years, they won't even let me get my ID over the counter.
In California or in Oregon?
I'm stuck in California right now. Unfortunately, I'm trying to pay rent in the Bay Area, and I've got no job, I've got no ID, they won't let me even put my fingerprint on the counter to try to get one.
You know, another avenue to go to is through the Department of Transportation, this is going to sound kind of odd, but through the, I think it's the Highway, let's forget this right, Federal Highway Safety Board, I believe, and they deal with everything with titles, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a title, and especially if it's a driver's
license. Well, yeah,
you're
talking about
license.
A birthing certificate, so I totally understand where you're talking about.
No, he's talking about your name, trying to get, if you want to get an ID, these are the things you need to do to get back to your ID and to be able to work.
Can I ask you another question? This may be a little ethereal, but maybe I could ask you another question. If it were to come to the fact that I was denied an ID completely, is there any chance maybe this was kind of a blessed thing for me to overcome the beast system that is going to come? I mean, in some ways, I can kind of consider myself lucky.
You want to be shut out of the system. I mean, you sound like you're shut out of it now. I mean, no, you want to
I've been flushed out a long time ago. No, they flushed me down
the private
tubes a long time ago.
You want to be on the private side of the system so that you're actually protected and that you have access to, like, accounts and you have an ID and you're able to function as a private American national.
As a human being, as it were.
I don't know how, you know, I know that the things I've been through in the past 16 years, and it's just, I don't know how you've done it with no ID. I don't know how you get used to that.
I've been mowing lawns and, like, fixing people's engines and, you know, repairing the occasional outboard and trying to just help people keep their stuff together. And I've been working under the table. I mean, for the last 11 years of my life, I've been denied every opportunity to be able to make anything of myself.
Yeah,
they
and
may
I
have
fought for my country. I was Special Forces in the Navy.
That's impeding your constitutional rights of life, liberty, and property, and pursuit of happiness.
Oh, I absolutely understand this, but I fought for my country in the Navy from 1996 to 1999. I was involved with Special Forces. I was in Somalia. I killed people to make sure people could be free in this country, and I'm watching
my freedom disappear. Doesn't that make you sick? What's going on? What you see going on here? It's important. I know veterans, this is the way that veterans are treated, the way that it's just important.
Well, it's not just me. I'm watching the average homeless person on the street get treated the same way, and maybe they didn't go out there and try to protect our rights and our Constitution, but they're still trying to survive from day to day.
They're still sitting here
every day on the street, waking up and going to sleep.
Right.
Yeah, but and it's increasing in number. I know it's here in Oregon. It's increasing in number. You know, what's sad about that? It doesn't have to be that way. And it is all these things that you're talking about, the homeless situation and what you're going through, it all has to do with identity and stolen identity. In your case, drop me a you on Facebook at all?
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a good reason for it. I feel like it's a government tracking device. I've got a Gmail account.
Oh, okay.
Don't give it here. Leave it with Mike, and Mike can give that to Ken, if you don't mind.
I'll give it to you guys off-air, if you don't mind.
If you'll give it to Mike, the producer, he can get it from you and take care of it that way.
And I can help you
really appreciate it. If you guys have any kind of contact information you can give me later on about that, I would really appreciate it offline.
Perfect.
And you know, I'm getting sick of not being able to eat a burger.
Give me just a minute. We'll be right back after this message.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture in the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of tears. With no provisions, there's not enough space. Oh, the straits of fear. Oh,
welcome back. This is Lori from RTR Truth Media. You can reach us at rtrtruthmedia.com. There's the information on there to email Tom or myself or RTR Truth Media. Get information on the show or get information if you need it. Also, please support RBN. They've been gracious to let us have the broadcast time here on RBN. You can reach them at RBN. Republicbroadcasting.org. And we have Ken and Liz with us today. Ken is talking to us and Liz about the patents that the U.S. Patent Office owns and the trademarks that you can find through the trademark office. And
can I read?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to get this in before we run out of time. I want to read one paragraph to you that may help get you to understand why we're dealing with trademarks here and not mortgages.
Okay.
That may help people. Now, this was written by a trademark attorney that had given a final refusal to Own It Mortgages product called the Right Loan, which they were trying to get a trademark on, and they were refused several times. And this was the final refusal. Now, this was written in 2006. Now, it's a real shame that this never made it public or never got out there in the public, because if it had back in 2006, we could have probably saved ourselves a lot of heartache. But here's what he wrote. He wrote, applicant also argues that the purchasers of its services, meaning Own It, are sophisticated, making confusion less likely. However, the recited services of the respected parties are not limited to professionals with extensive experience in the trade, but are stated broadly and would include services offered to ordinary purchasers who may obtain mortgages only a small number of times in their lifetimes. It may be presumptuous to believe that these purchasers are sophisticated or experienced in these matters, and indeed, they are not. Even assuming arguendo that they are sophisticated or knowledgeable in the applicant's field, this does not necessarily mean they are sophisticated or knowledgeable in the field of trademarks or immune from source confusion.
Oh, wow.
That says a lot.
That sounds a lot, especially if you know what the words mean, and please go back and listen.
Put in terms of MERS. MERS did not disclose that it was a trademark. Okay, so source confusion. What they're talking about source confusion is that when the purpose of trademarks is so that you and I as a consumer can source the goods and products that we're unfamiliar with and that we don't know. And if it has a trademark that's attached to it, we've got a place to go to source where that product came from and if that product's desirable to us or not. Well, MERS didn't do that at all. MERS just sat there and just removed it completely. So they went to all the trouble to get this trademark, but what did they do? They withheld it from the people that it serves the most, which is you and I.
Right.
So we had no source. So we were lured into believing that MERS was associated with Fannie and Freddie, when in fact it's not really associated with Fannie and Freddie at all. It's associated with Nations Bank. So we've got another. So we've got an underlying party there that was not disclosed to us. We got a one-sided illegal contract that is attached to that Fannie and Freddie document, and this all happens and occurs because MERS never identified itself as a United States registered trademark. So none of us, and because we're not privy to it, we don't know this stuff. How could we know this stuff? This stuff was all brand new, being incorporated in between those years, and so of course we don't know these things. They've got to give us disclosure. That Circle R has got to be. It's going to be the biggest fraud in history. That the biggest conspiracy goes through that Circle R and the omission of that trademark.
Yeah, you can't look it up. Can't see what you're getting into. It's not full disclosure, as Liz was saying.
Right, and who would go to look at? I wouldn't. I mean, we pre-trusted Fannie and Freddie, man. The government told us, hey, this is a trusted agreement.
And it's not anymore. I think a lot of people know not to get into MERS if they've bought one house before, but...
Well, if I got into a mortgage loan right now, I'd say I'll sign it, but I want my bank accounts, I want the broker's names, and I want
right.
all the accounts, you know, because those are my accounts.
You know what?
What's that?
You know what? They won't be able to do it because none of those people that are having you sign those documents are securities licensed.
True. I would like to have 50% of what the borrower received. Just 50%. I'll share.
Yeah.
I mean,
somebody got a smart card that was the whole value of your mortgage, and they had a good time with it.
Oh, yeah.
And they got to recharge it, I think, a year or two later again.
Oh, wow. All coming off
but
your
see,
back
that's another
in your name.
Thing that we, that's another thing you got to learn, that you got to come to grips with and understand these things, is that we are the debtor and creditor. We're both. We are both. And when we get, we strip down, when we go into pads of trademarks and we go into treasuries as a living man, and we're collapsing all these things around us and bringing them home to us, we're back on the organic with the basic law of society, but we're also, too, in a mutual society at that point, mutual benefit society at that point in time. And that mutual benefit is for me to me, as you
right.
to you, you know, and that's the way it should be. And the thing about it is, it's hard to, with this stuff, it's very easy to show and prove that you're the creditor. It's very easy. It's not difficult.
Right.
It's just understanding what we're dealing with here as far as patents and just, I guess, dealing with the overwhelming amount of information, just the brain freeze, if you will, to think, oh, my God, how the hell did this happen?
And I think what might help some of the people that are listening, because Alan said something, he said, I'm the living man. We know you're the living man, and we know that we're dealing with the name, which is not the living. It's real. It's not fiction. But you look at it more on a banking scheme, what Ken's looking at it in this conversation. Look at it more as you're the living man that has access to your securities, or we're trying to help you find access to your securities, your derivatives, the things that you should have been the beneficial owner of on the MERS contract. Literally, it states that you're the guarantor, that you're going to guarantee all this money, and mm-hmm. the borrower is going to be the bank. And they flipped the roles around on you. So I would read the MERS, MERS Nation Bank Agreement, and see what it says. See what it says, so you can see what the context of this conversation is. Take the context of this conversation and put it into whichever scenario you're looking at. That's what you can find in the patents and the trademarks. That's what we're trying to get across to people. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And the one thing when we're talking about, people have mentioned straw man a lot. Drop that
right.
word straw man. Lose the word straw man. It's entity. Your all caps name is an entity. And if you read the charters, the one that I'm thinking of in particular is Wells Fargo.
I think we lost you there a little bit, Ken. I don't know if you went on hold.
Oh.
You back? I think he's still on mute a second. But basically, you've got to look at... there you are. You back or no? I don't know what's going on. Ken? You still there?
Uh-oh. I heard...
I guess he's... Might have dropped off there for a second. But basically what we're trying to say is look at these scenarios in different ways. Everybody's trying to find an answer, but what Ken's found is the actual pathway to find those answers. He's finding the pathway where they've sat down and said, okay, here's how we're going to do a mortgage loan. I'm going in going, I see how you do a mortgage loan. I can see how they put it into Common Core and how they're putting it in with the kids. Take it into your path and see where you can pull off of what he's finding out into the path that you've chosen to take and what you've chosen to do in this. That's the best thing I can help you in finding out how this works. That's the key thing I can say because it's very confusing. It's very complicated or sophisticated, as the government puts it. And when you know the definitions of the words we're saying, it becomes so much clearer. If you have a question for Ken, hopefully he'll be back. Are you back yet, Ken? Ken?
I don't think he is.
Okay. Perfect. Then, Liz, I think it might be you and I. But if somebody has a question for us, go ahead, Liz. Liz?
Oh, yes?
I thought you had something to say.
Oh, no. I'm waiting for Ken to come back on. And
he has to be called back real quick.
My expertise is really more in financial services. That's how Ken and I really got connected. Because when I first ran across this page, I remember, the name of it was Mortgage...
Right, mortgage derivatives.
Derivative. And I thought, well, I know what a derivative is. What does that have to do with mortgages? So that's how we connected, and, you know, we had a few conversations. So he's kind of like the expert on the copyright side and the trademarks and patents and such, and I just kind of bring up the other side and support.
But that's very important that you know what a derivative is, because a lot of us aren't in the financial field, and we aren't familiar what the derivatives are. We hear about them talked about, but nobody really takes the time to explain them to us, to say, okay, here's where this fits in, this is what it means, this is how you're putting it together for us. I didn't even think of that they didn't have a license. That's when I was like, okay, now I get this. Perfect. Hi, Dickon. We were just talking about the derivatives and how Liz is putting that part into what you're doing with the patents. And she didn't understand how the mortgages had anything that equaled derivatives. And I was telling her, you know, it's really important that somebody tells us what a derivative is.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
It's kind of in the word. Derivative, inside that word is the word derive. So it derives its value from something else. It has no inherent value.
Okay.
The value is what of the underlying asset. In this case, the underlying asset. Now, that is your all caps birth name. That's the underlying asset. Do you remember? Do you remember after the collapse? Who's that one? What's his name? Moore. I think it's the last name. Moore. The heavyset guy does the, he did the Columbine thing?
Michael
Columbine.
Moore.
Yeah, who?
Michael Moore. Moore.
Yes, remember right. Michael Moore's Wall Street one? And he was outside of, I think, Lehman Brothers or one of the Wall Street banks, and he was asking people who were coming out what a derivative was. Nobody could answer him.
Right.
Nobody would answer him. And the answer he got was the exact answer that Liz had gave, which is that it's derived on an underlying asset. That's as far as anybody would go with it. And then he was trying to press people. Well, what does that mean? Nobody would answer him. Why would nobody answer him? Huh?
I'll tell you one of the reasons they won't answer, because the derivative, it's a complete swag. It's a complete just, we want it to be worth this.
Right.
You know, and it's betting on the hedge, and it's gambling.
Well, it's a patent. that's where the patents come in, because the patents can go ahead and fix that gambling scheme to make sure that derivative is going to bring in the profits that Goldman Sachs wants it to bring in. Of course, you won't have anything because they're taking it away from you. And same thing with Barclays Bank and Bank of America and everybody. All these patents start off with an original derivative, a derivative note, derivative of something. And at the end of the patent, you're out of the picture. They stripped you away of everything. But yes, it is a gambling scheme. It is a set on appraisal values and assessed values that somebody's putting on it. And we've got to start questioning those things. Who are the people that are doing these things, and where are these values coming from? Some kind of cockamamie type of insurance. What do you call it? Not accruals, but what's the word? I can't think of the word right now. What
does that mean? Are you talking about actuaries?
Yes, thank you. Yes, actuaries.
Hey, aren't you glad I'm on the team?
I am glad you're on the team, because I had a brain fart there. But, you know, so somebody's putting values to these things. Now, some of these values are coded algorithms and things of that nature, but a lot of these patents that you read, like a lot of Goldman Sachs patents and Barclays patents, Bank of America patents, they're just worded patents. You know, they're just describing something and a process that's happening. Of course, it's got code that's executing these things, but the process that they're describing is, and they're skewing the words, of course. But what they're starting off with is, I mean, they're starting off with something, and they're totally changing this something, whether it's by slicing it in a million different slices, or creating bonds and notes and accounts out of it, and or creating changing the political position and status of somebody so that they can get around a state code or a federal code, or they're moving you over to England so that they can use England's laws because they can't do it here in the United States, and they're stripping you back afterwards. These are the things they're doing.
And it's hard to explain to people that that's what they're doing, and they're doing it 32 different times, converting you into assets
and into
derivatives. Yeah, just one.
That's just one patent. Now you get into the federal patents, the government patents, and the Department of Transportation, and the Surfaces Transportation Board, and the Federal Highway Safety Board, and now you're getting into this future forward brokers who are sitting at a computer and pretending that we're being transported by truck and rail across the country, but all they're doing is hitting a send button from California, sending it to some terminal in New York, but they're playing this silly game as if we're on a truck transport system and a highway system with crosswalks and bridges and overpasses, and they're putting all these rules to these things, and they call it excise taxes. And they're acting as our transmitting a utility because we're the accommodating party for federal public money underneath the Commonwealth of the Virginia. Where'd that come from? The MERS agreement.
Oh, well, that's right. It is in there.
Yes, it is, and so that's what happens here. So you know, there's so many things that we knew nothing about what was going on. We were blindsided with this stuff, and we were blindsided with it because the OCC put the Office of Comptroller of Currency put a veil around banking, and then said we're good. We cannot interfere with the business of banking. And that's what they did. They put a veil around them so they could operate in secret, and they stood guard at the front door while they engineered this new economic system, while they used Mindbox to put the back doors in between Wells Fargo and Deutsche Bank and Deutsche Bank and Bank of America and so on and so forth. So what you have here is you got a system of artificial intelligence that is totally rigged, totally fixed, and it's accommodating for the attorneys in this case, because the attorneys can use these back doors to maneuver around in codes and statutes to go ahead and do things that they shouldn't be doing, unlawful things, illegal things, and we don't have privy to this thing. That's why we're not getting anywhere. So we can never win in the court system because it's so rigged. And it's rigged by all these processes. And, of course, the county employees and the people in the government, they just think that if you're foreclosed, you're just a lousy deadbeat because they don't know any better, because they don't know what's
right.
Going on.
And they're in the payment stream. It's just irritating because the American Bar Association has developed a series of grant programs. One of them has to do with foreclosures. And the judges get a percentage.
Yep.
Well, they qualify for this grant money based on the percentage of foreclosures that they push through.
I saw a trust fund with Treasury, one of Treasury's funds for retiring judges it's a retiring judges unclaimed properties trust. Oh, that's a reclaimed properties trust. Come on, what's going on here?
Yeah, these poor judges are going to really be set up.
Yeah, let's. Can we say RICO?
Yes.
Well, can we say something, anything at this point in time for somebody to act and do something? I think that going this the route that I'm going, and by opening up these channels, it's going to get somewhere. Because I think what you're going to find here, I think you're going to find a lot of these government employees are going to be shocked because they really don't have an idea what's going on. They really are clueless. And nobody really has looked at the technology in any, there's been no oversight. You know, my questions are, okay, well, wait a second here. My first question is, why, here you had Own It Mortgage. Now, Bill Dallas and Own It, he had this fraud guard, which was supposed to catch fraud and end fraud. So it's to catch it in the application. Okay, well, if that's the case, then when he and Merrill Lynch decide to abandon lending standards, why did this technology not catch one single fraudulent mortgage until after the collapse?
Why?
Why? Because it was set up. Because it was not a mortgage, number one. It was a lease, and they didn't bother looking at the application until it defaults, so they could look back at it and say, oh, he lied on his loan application. He's not working. Fraud. So see, this is the problem with technologies now, and this software program, artificial intelligence, that is not equally matched to the actual facts. The actual fact is what? It's a lease agreement. That's it, but it's portrayed as being a mortgage agreement. Well, right. How can you win?
You know, I remember being, when I was at financial services, I wore a lot of hats, and one of them was that I was a loan supervisor. And I remember being in a convention when they had all the wholesalers come in and try to sell us on the idea of promoting their products. And when they came up with these option arm loans, which is basically the liar loans, I remember there were a bunch of us supervisors sitting in our seats looking at each other saying, did he really just say, just tell your appraiser you need a number, just put down what you need?
Well, and you know why they did? And you know why they did that? Because they had it fixed on the backside. They wanted these loans to the bank to foreclose on. Why? Because all they needed was 3 months of somebody paying, and then 3 months of default, but 3 months of somebody paying on an insurance policy that at their accelerated no time value, because there's no time, you know, this time is relative within the universe, for a high yield annuity, so they could start collecting as annuity. So all they needed was 3 months. Out of a loan. That's why Bill Dallas, he went as far as giving, I read a story where he gave a family of six that were of Spanish descent, of Mexican descent, out in California. Two of them didn't even live there, but he put them on as part of the loan. I mean, come on, how illegal is that?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the fairness to you and me, who you know, the people that have been properly underwritten and everything. You got these yo-yos come along and do something like this, where they're handing out loans to anybody with a heartbeat and a pulse, and of course it's going to collapse the economy, because that's what their intention was. They patented an economic coup d'état, and they won. And they defeated America the day that TARP was announced, is when they defeated America. And we've been paying for it ever since. And it's about damn time we stop.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing people need to read and to look into what really happened with that. That's a whole nother monster.
Yeah. Well, it's time for the government to take accountability now. I mean, I'm not going to blame the government wholly. I'm going to blame the OCC. The OCC kind of said, okay, boys, we're packing up and leaving town. And the OCC kind of forced these agencies to stop regulating, to stop oversight. So I really think that the OCC needs to be investigated. But something has to be done. I mean, it's been, 10 years? Something needs to be done already.
I think they're doing that in a couple of court cases, too.
I think we need
a few certified forensic audits is what we need.
Take those to court.
Well, the problem is that it's a problem. You know, you'll never see this in court, though. That's the problem, because you're talking about bank secrecy now. So these are things that will happen behind the scenes, and that's kind of what they're doing now, is what you're just saying, Lori. They're doing things behind the scenes, right. And that's how this thing will kind of remedy out at some point in time. And of course, you know, 90% of the people that have been devastated by this will get nothing.
Yep.
Unless we the people stand up and start learning and start taking accountability for ourselves and focusing to where we need to focus, to where we can nail these guys.
Right, and it's hard. It's a lot of hard work, and you're not going to be just handed the answers. And that's what people don't understand when we're dealing with things, that it's going to be that hard. And with that, this is the end of the show. You guys have a great night. This is Lori from RTR Truth Media. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Liz. It's Ken Ghost and Liz Combs. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Very good. Good night, everyone.
Night.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018.
Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.